Trade deals have been fodder on the U.S. campaign trail this year, with Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders being the most outspoken. And with a recent leak of negotiation documents related to a proposed U.S.-Europe trade deal, there may be even more in the future. The environmental organization Greenpeace has released a trove of leaked documents related to what's called the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, or TTIP, that would loosen trade barriers between the United States and the European Union. Proponents say it could bring in more than $100 billion in revenue for both sides. But Greenpeace EU says the 284-page draft text they released shows it will put global business interests ahead of people and environmental protections. Greenpeace EU Director Jorgo Riess joins us from Brussels to explain. Welcome to Living on Earth, Jorgo.
Hello, Steve. I'm happy to be on your show.
So why did you decide to release all these documents associated with the negotiations for TTIP?
Well, the TTIP negotiations between the United States and the European Union have now been going on for almost 3 years in utmost secrecy. In Europe, we had a little bit more information because early on in 2013, civil society and a number of countries here in Europe were saying, we want to know what's going on. We want to know what you're negotiating. And the European Commission eventually had to agree to release their demands in the negotiation, some opportunity to discuss them. On the US side, absolute secrecy, as far as I know, nothing released to civil society at all.
So tell us, don't reveal your source, of course, but how do you know these documents are legitimate that you have? And what exactly are they?
Greenpeace was approached by an individual who had access to the documents, who had obtained a full set of what is currently on the table in the negotiations between the USA and the European Union. We first spent a significant amount of time retyping all these documents because we had reason to believe that the original had certain markers that would allow to trace them back to the source. Then we worked with a network of investigative journalists, and after they confirmed that our retyped version corresponded to the original and that the originals were indeed authentic negotiating documents, we destroyed the originals so that nobody can ever force us to release them. And we hope in that way to have protect the source as well as possible.
What do you think is the most disturbing thing from your perspective that you discovered in these documents?
It is clear from the documents that the negotiators do have direct contact with some big industry interests, chemical industry and others. We see that the negotiators are moving towards an agreement that would open the door to big industry to have much more their hands on regulations, leave their fingerprints on new laws, on anything from standards for children's toys, levels for residues of pesticides in food, et cetera, et cetera. So it really sets up a framework in which future regulation that is meant to protect public health and the environment which could be early on heavily influenced by industries that have a direct financial interest in these areas.
Talk to me about the precautionary principle and why it's an important factor for you in these negotiations.
Today, in Europe, if you want to produce a chemical and sell it in the EU, you have to provide some basic data to show that it's safe. The European Union, based on the precautionary principle, changed its chemicals regulation system from one where the burden of proof was on public regulators to one where the burden of proof was shifted to the chemicals industry. Before the turn of the century, the European Union had the same type of approach to regulating hazardous chemicals as the United States still have today. And it was up to the public authorities to prove that a chemical was hazardous before they could restrict its use. And that system really didn't work in an environment where the industry was already producing thousands of chemicals. Over 100,000 different substances were in production in the European Union at the time the system changed. For Europeans, getting the precautionary principle into the EU treaty was a big achievement in the 1990s. And since then, we've seen the development of some of the most advanced legislation on chemicals in the European Union. And so in the TTIP leaks, we see that the US negotiators are pushing very heavily that the EU backtracks on this fundamental change of shifting the burden of proof from the public to the private sector.
Jorgo, how do you respond to claims made by government leaders on both sides of the Atlantic that this deal would spur much needed economic growth.
Yeah, that's what they always say. I mean, each time a new trade treaty, a new trade deal is being promoted, we're promised that this will bring growth, this will bring jobs. I can only say that looking back, whether it's the NAFTA in North America or the common market in the European Union, you know, it has always turned out that in reality, the benefits were significantly lower. And even now, the proponents say that the TTIP in the best possible scenario might lead up to 0.5% of GDP growth. That's not huge. And there are as many economic forecast studies around that go exactly in the opposite direction. And they talk about job losses in significant sectors. So you have studies going both ways. It's difficult to predict the future, but I can say that on the promoters of trade deals always promise a lot.
What would make a responsible trade deal in your view?
On one hand, you could say we actually don't need such a treaty because trade is going fine between these two biggest economies on the planet. But if you do one, Greenpeace would say the following. We would say, first of all, it has to be compatible with the fight against climate change. You can't have a trade deal today where you don't even consider whether increased trade or continuing current levels of trade, whether that is compatible with the achievements of the EU and the United States now, the Paris Agreement of last year. And secondly, a trade deal should increase standards of living, increase standards of well-being. You know, goes for something that really improves the life of people in the United States and in Europe, rather than go for a deal where you listen closely to what the chemicals industry and some other big businesses are telling you.
What's your prediction on the effects that this leak will have on further negotiations? Do you have any idea?
It's very clear that leaks promote public debate. And especially in a case like this, where there has been such heavy secrecy that many people have never even heard of the TTIP, a leak will hopefully make them for the first time ask, what is this? And what does it mean for me? And I'm sure there's probably a lot more in there that's bad, but which goes outside the area of expertise of Greenpeace. It's not an easy read, but I think for people who work for a better environment, for a better society, for labor rights, they should check it and they should see there are probably a lot more ticking bombs in there that we need to take care of.
Jorgo Rist is the director of Greenpeace EU. Thanks so much, Jorgo.
Steve, thank you very much.
By the way, Cecilia Malmström, EU Trade Commissioner, says alarmist headlines in response to the Greenpeace leaks are a, quote, storm in a teacup. And a spokesperson for the U.S. Trade Representative told Living on Earth, quote, while the United States does not comment on the validity of alleged leaks, the interpretations being given to these texts appear to be misleading at best and flat-out wrong at worst. There are links to the full comments on our website, loe.org.